Hello, friends. This is Fred Dominguez. The scriptures are very clear in their teaching that this world is not our home. Nowhere do the scriptures teach the idea of a paradise earth where mankind will live throughout eternity. In fact, the scriptures teach very much the opposite. In John chapter 14, verses 2 and 3, Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Now we know the place of which Jesus spoke is not the earth, because he said he was going to prepare it and would return to take his disciples to that place. We also know that this place is not the earth because of what Peter said in 2 Peter 3, verses 10 through 13. He said, "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning, and the elements will melt with intense heat? But according to his promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth, in which righteousness dwells." According to Peter, the present universe will be completely destroyed on the day of the Lord. Therefore, as Christians, we anticipate a new dwelling place, which the Lord himself said he is preparing for us in his Father's house. Perhaps no one understood this better than Paul. Certainly no one more eloquently spoke of this truth than he. Today, we will consider Paul's insight on being at home with the Lord, and what this means to us as we live out our lives here upon the earth. Without a doubt, Paul had a special perspective about life on earth versus the prospects of eternity. When Paul wrote his letter to the church in Philippi, he was imprisoned in Rome, awaiting an audience with Caesar. We understand from Acts chapter 28 and verse 30 that this imprisonment was actually what we would call house arrest. Paul lived in his own rented quarters, rather than being confined in a dungeon or common jail. Nevertheless, his life was no less in jeopardy than if he were in a Roman prison. Once he went before Caesar, he might very well be condemned to death, just as likely as not. In the face of this possibility, Paul wrote some extraordinary words in Philippians chapter 1, verses 21 to 24. He said, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I am to live on in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which to choose. But I am hard-pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is very much better. Yet to remain on in the flesh is more necessary for your sake." On a personal level, Paul did not know, or he not only knew that this world was not his home, but he was ready to leave it behind in order to be with the Lord. The only conflict in Paul's mind was over the needs of the church and his place as an apostle of the Lord to meet those needs. Notice how he describes it there in verse 21. He said, "To live is Christ, and to die is gain." In other words, Paul understood that the real blessing was after this life was over. As long as he lived, he would serve the Lord and bring whatever honor and glory to the Lord he could. But even as he did so, he would have a longing for what lay beyond, because Paul knew that this was the ultimate goal. So he struggled with the need to help the church and the desire to be with the Lord, and concluded in verse 25 that he would remain on in service to the Lord. Paul expressed this same point of view in his second letter to the church in Corinth. In 2 Corinthians 5, verses 1 to 5, he said, For we know that if the earthly tent which is our house is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For indeed in this house we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven, inasmuch as we, having put it on, will not be found naked. For indeed, while we are in this tent, we groan, being burdened, because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed, so that what is mortal will be swallowed up by life. Now he who prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave us the Spirit as a pledge. Now we notice in this instance that Paul indicates the incompleteness of earthly life. There is, he says, an eternal building made by God that awaits us, and we are not going to be satisfied until we reach it. He uses two expressions to illustrate this truth. The first is that here in life we groan, which he said in verses 2 and 4. We are burdened by our sad estate. That sad estate is portrayed in the second expression, also found in verses 2 and 4, that we long to be clothed rather than unclothed. In other words, life on earth is like being naked, whereas life in eternity is like being fully clothed. Right-thinking people want to be clothed rather than to be naked. They want to pass over to the eternal because this is where completeness lies. Notice also the point that Paul makes in verse 5. God has prepared us for this very purpose. That is to say, we weren't intended to find our fullness in life on the earth. God has always intended that we should be at home with Him. This is why God has given His Spirit to us. The Spirit is His pledge, His down payment, as it were, on our eternal state. Paul indeed has a special perspective about life on earth, and he wants us to have the same perspective as he did. Paul put this perspective into very practical terms in 2 Corinthians 5, verses 6 through 10. Here he said, "Therefore, being always of good courage, and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. Therefore, we also have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one of us may be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." In this passage, Paul lays it out in pretty straightforward language. Verses 6 through 10 are the conclusion reached based upon the truth of verses 1 through 5. Christians may always be of good courage because God has prepared for us eternal life. However, we need always to be reminded of the fact that we are limited in physical life from experiencing the goal God has in mind. Notice in verse 6 that Paul tells us that while we live in our earthly bodies, that is, while we're at home here in life, we are absent from the Lord. Bear in mind that this does not mean that we are separated from God as we are in sin. Rather, Paul is speaking in the sense of the fullest, most complete expression of being with the Lord. We can only realize this state on the other side of life. So as long as we live on the earth, we are absent from this final state of communion with our God. This is an important truth, for sometimes we become so enamored with life that we begin to act as though this is as good as it gets. Friends, Paul would tell us, "You ain't seen nothing yet. As good as life is, and God intends for it to be good for His people, it is nothing in comparison to the eternity in God's presence." For this reason, Paul says it straight out in verse 8, "We should prefer to be absent from the body and at home with the Lord." This is what God has intended for us from the beginning of time. And it is this that motivates us to live righteously while on the earth. Look at verse 9 again. "Because we desire to be at home with the Lord, we must make it our ambition to be pleasing to Him." Notice that Paul says, whether at home or absent, we are to be pleasing to Him. Now, some take this to mean whether we are alive or have already died when the Lord returns, we should be pleasing to Him. Given the fact that verse 10 tells us that we will each appear before the judgment seat of Christ, it certainly makes sense to be pleasing to the Lord all the way to the point at which we become absent from the body, as it were. There's another sense in which we might apply this idea, though, and that is whether we are at home, among parents, family, and friends, or are absent, that is, away from these influences, we are still to be pleasing to God. There is no time or place in which it is appropriate for us to not please the Lord. Too much is at stake. Our goal must be to please God if we hope to ever be at home with Him. To be at home with the Lord after life ends is a lofty goal. It is one which is likely the desire of most people. Achieving that goal is the result of steadfast obedience to the Lord's revealed will, and it is here that desire is separated from achievement. You see, it is not enough to desire to be at home with the Lord. One must do what the Lord has commanded, that this is what pleases Him, in order to reach the goal. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus concluded His remarks with a stern warning in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 to 23. He said, "Not everyone who says to Me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of My Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. The Lord's point, of course, is that the only ones who will be at home with the Lord in eternity are those who have obeyed him in life. To be at home with the Lord in eternity, we must be at home with him here in life. And what we mean by this statement is that we must be comfortable with him as we go about our daily business. We use this phrase, at home, in many circumstances to describe how someone or something reacts to a new environment. This is particularly true of pets. If one has a dog that has lived for a while in a particular yard, it will not immediately take to a new locale if the family moves. Over time, however, we remark that he is beginning to feel at home in the new yard. The longer the dog is there, the more comfortable it feels there, and soon the new yard is home. In a sense, this is what must happen to us as Christians. When we obey the gospel, we are taken from the things that are familiar to us. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13, Paul calls this being rescued from the domain of darkness and being transferred to the kingdom of his beloved Son. As babes in Christ, we are in a new environment, one that is different from the world, and we must learn to be at home in that environment. We do so by transforming our minds by means of God's Word so that we no longer conform to the world, but rather present ourselves as living sacrifices to God. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. We become at home with the Lord by doing what Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. He said, Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence, in your faith supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence knowledge, and in your knowledge self-control, and in your self-control perseverance, and in your perseverance godliness, and in your godliness brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The point, very simply, is this. If we are not at home with the Lord in life, that is, if we're not comfortable and agreeable with his commands and being in his service, we're never going to be at home with the Lord, present with him in heaven in eternity. We have to be comfortable being with the Lord, doing his will, serving him according to his will here in life, if we ever have any hopes of being at home with him in heaven. As we have looked at the scriptures together today, we've seen that Paul's great desire was to be at home with the Lord. We know from scripture that he realized that desire. At the end of his life, he said he had fought the good fight, he had kept the faith, he had finished the course, he knew that the crown of righteousness was laid up for him in heaven, and also for those who have loved the Lord's appearing, that is, those who lived their lives as Paul did in obedience to God's will. Paul had every confidence that when he left this earth, he would be at home with the Lord. We today can have that same confidence. If we desire to be with the Lord in eternity, let us become one with him, be with him here in life by obedience to the gospel, by faithful service in his kingdom until our life ends. And if we will do that, then at the end of our lives, we will go home to be with the Lord. Thanks very much for listening today. Please join us again next time for Let the Bible Speak.